My dear respected scholars, ulama, elders, brothers, I'm not sure if the ladies are listening.
Yes.
Mothers and sisters. We begin by praising Almighty Allah, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The topic that has been given to me today is hope in the face of despair. And this is a very pertinent topic, especially given the fact that what we are facing in the world today. We don't need to elaborate on the reasons to feel somewhat despondent given the situation of the Ummah, both individually and collectively. However, we are a nation of hope. We never despair. We never become despondent. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, إِنَّهُ لَا يَأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. It is only the disbeliever who loses hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. It is not becoming of a mu'min and a believer ever to become despondent. In fact, ulama have written that the word Iblis, one meaning of the word Iblis comes from the word balas, which means despair. And nothing gives shaitan and the satanic forces more pleasure than to see Muslims in despair. It is amongst the traits of shaitan and never the trait of a believer. Now, one of the things that people will say, that what is the point of, what are the points of hope? And I think this maybe briefly we will make mention of that. But of course, we also need to understand there's always been two ways of looking at things, a positive way and a negative way. Always been two ways. And we all know the cliche, a glass half full or half empty. It depends upon how you look at it. Or the way someone had said, an optimist will always see a challenge in every difficulty, while a pessimist, even in a good situation, will find some point of despair. Or another way of looking at it, an optimist will look at the donut and see that there is something to eat, and a pessimist will see a hole in the donut and they say there's nothing to eat in the hole. So there is always these type two ways of looking at things. I read somewhere, the tafsir with regard to the ayat وَقَتَلَ دَاوُودُ جَالُوتُ, that Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam killed Jalut. So when the Bani Israel, that time of course the Bani Israel were the favored and the chosen servants of Allah, the way Allah Ta'ala says, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمتُ عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين. We gave you superiority upon the world at that time. Obviously, we know from the Quran that they did not live up to that what Allah Ta'ala had granted them. So Dawood alayhi salam saw Jalut, and Bani Israel saw Jalut, so someone said, he is so big, how are we going to fight with him? How are we going to confront him? And Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam said, he is so big, how can I miss him? He's so big, how can I miss him? And of course, Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam was known for the, using the caterpillar. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَتَلَ دَاوُودُ جَالُوتَ. Look at the different ways of looking at things. One said, he's so big, we can't confront him. Other one said, he's so big, I can't miss him. Subhanallah. So one of the ways we look at hope is we are futuristic. We always have a futuristic vision of things. So we look at things also from the scope and the lens of akhirat. We don't only look at things in dunya. Sometimes Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in a hadith which comes in all the books of hadith, sometimes a Nabi will come in front of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, he will have no followers. Someone will have one follower, someone will have two followers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, after so many years, wama amana ma'ahu illa qalil. Only few people accepted in him. After 950 years, Mufassirin said 80 people accepted in him. But that doesn't make them, aliyadhu billah, unsuccessful or failures. Because you look at it in the lens of the akhirah, they are successful. People who are shaheed, they are successful. Even if you look at it from a worldly perspective, you see that, they were killed and a missile came and bombed them in the place where they were staying. But wallahi al-azim, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are successful. It comes in a hadith that is only one group of people who will actually yearn to come back in the world. And one of them is the shaheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the shaheed, before the blood reaches the ground, Allah ta'ala has forgiven him. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will tell everyone, what do you want? And the shaheed will say, Ya Allah, send me back in the world, and the pleasure I had in sacrificing my life for you, send me back to attain the sweetness of that very same pleasure. Can you imagine? So when we look at people who have passed on from Gaza, we look at it, for example, in our worldly point of view. Look at it from the futuristic point of view. And that is why it comes in one hadith that Nabi Karim Sallallahu said, this world's difficulties and challenges and the pleasure are so fleeting. That one hadith, Nabi Karim Sallallahu said, Allah on the day of Qiyamah, and Nabi Sallallahu gave an example and put an example and said, just take for example, if a person were to have lived an entire life only of difficulty and challenges, never had any happiness. Now that normally doesn't happen, everyone does have his fair share of happiness. But for example's sake, that a person does this, and on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will dip him into Jannah. Not even put him, dip him, take him out. Oh my bondsman, did you ever see difficulty in your life? That little bit time, if he is in Jannah, he will say, Allah, I never ever saw difficulty. And if a person lives a life only full of pleasure, full of happiness, that also doesn't happen here in this world. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave an example. So, he lived only happiness. If Allah on the day of Qiyamah will dip him in Jahannam, take him out. Not even put him, dip him, take him out. Oh my bondsman, you ever saw any comfort in your life? We'll say, Allah, I never ever saw any comfort. So one way that of our hope is, we remain steadfast because of the futuristic vision we have. And that vision is permanent, not temporary, the way the worldly vision is. The second thing, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, Ajaba li amri al-mu'min. Amazing is the affairs of the mu'min, that everything is only good for him. If anything pleasant happened to him, he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes shukr, he gets reward from Almighty Allah. And when any challenging situation comes upon him, he makes shukr to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he still gets reward. This only happens for the believer. Innil amra kullahu khair. Every aspect of his is khair. So this is something that we find amazing. Only the believer. Obviously, we never ask for difficulty. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Hazrat Abbas, his uncle, oh my uncle, always ask Allah for afiyat. Because there is nothing greater to ask of from Allah than afiyat. And afiyat means well-being and ease. We don't ask Allah Ta'ala for difficulty. We are not people who show our bravery in front of Allah Ta'ala, no. We always ask, Ya Allah, grant us ease. But this is what Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the believer all the time, he is in khair. So the second thing is, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, تَفَعَلَ الْخَيْرُ تَجِدْهُ. Look for something to be positive about, you will find it. Look for something to be positive about, you will find it. There is always a silver lining in every cloud, the way we will say. So the third reason why we become positive, and of course I can give elaboration on it, but I'm just going to be short. We try to keep it 10-15 minutes. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, تَفَعَلَ الْخَيْرُ تَجِدُهُ. Look for something to be positive about, you will find it. You know, in every... So look at the situation. Don't only look at the negative, try and look at the positive. Be a bearer of good news. Fourth thing, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us to be a bearer of good news. بَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا. Give people great tidings. Don't make them frightened for deen. You know, and... Make things easy. Don't make things difficult. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It is the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was kind and compassionate upon him. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَظُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If he was harsh and vulgar, the people would not have surrounded him the way they surrounded and love him because of his kindness. Look at the verse. It is Allah's rahmat that he was kind. if he was harsh and vulgar, the people would not have surrounded him and loved him the way they loved him because of his kindness and compassion. And who are the people who would not have surrounded him? Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. They would not have surrounded him if he was harsh. How do you expect people to come to you when you are harsh and vulgar? How do you expect people to love you if you are harsh and vulgar? And therefore I always say, kindness brings people together. Harshness takes away people. This will happen in every family, every community. In your family, if you are harsh and you are vulgar and you are always stern, you will break the family. But if you are kind and compassionate, you will bring the family together. This is a verse of the Holy Quran. And the verse of the Holy Quran can't be wrong. And that is why it's so important for us to bring families and communities together by, not by harshness, but kindness and compassion. So these are, then Nabi Karim Sallallahu has told us to be productive till the end of our life. إِذَا عَتَدْ أَحَدُكُمُ السَّاعَةَ فَلْيَغْرَسِ الْفَسِيلَ فَلْيَغْرِسَ. If the time of Qiyamah comes and you are busy planting a seedling, then don't say, what is the use of planting the seedling? Qiyamah is going to come, this is going to be destroyed. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, go and plant that seedling. Just go and do it. Go and do it. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was always looking for opportunities to do good. I always give this example of Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala was the one who created the circumstances for the setback in Uhud, main person. Now someone who was something that caused such great difficulty and challenges for the Nabi of Allah and for the Ummah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cried so much when he saw the mutilated body of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that all the Sahaba started crying with him. But yet when he came to Umratul Qadha, he asked Khalid bin Walid's brother Walid, "Oh Walid, where is your brother Khalid? Where is Khalid?" Walid, you know, diplomatically said, "Ya Rasulullah, he couldn't even bear your coming to Makkah. He fled. He couldn't even see you in Makkah. He went away." What did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell Walid? "Walid, go and tell your brother. An intelligent person like him cannot be oblivious of the beauty of Islam. Tell him to come towards us. We will deal with him in such a manner that we will fulfill his potential. We will give rise to his potential. And we will value and appreciate his potential." So Walid bin Walid wrote a letter to Khalid, left it to someone in Makkah. Khalid comes back, reads the letter. And Walid said, "Walid, Khalid, you are running away from the Prophet of Almighty Allah. He was thinking about you. He was thinking about you. And he was saying that you are full of potential. We will value your potential and appreciate your potential." Khalid started thinking about the letter. That night he saw a dream. He was in a barren desert and he's moving towards an oasis full of greenery and water. And he made his decision to come and accept Islam. Now, can you know, the Prophet ﷺ was never pessimistic about even the worst of enemies. The people who are opposing Nabi ﷺ, he always had hope that they will come and they will accept Islam. He always had hope and he was always giving them, you know, da'wat. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, sometimes think about this. Just ever think about this. Sometimes when you feel down, or you feel despondent about someone from your family or in your community doing something that you're not happy about, think about Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He set out to assassinate the Nabi of Allah. He set out to assassinate the Nabi of Allah. Today he is sleeping next to the Nabi of Allah. Set out to assassinate the Nabi of Allah. Today he is sleeping next to the Nabi of Allah. And there is no mu'min that can take the word of Umar, but a sense of awe and respect comes within him just by making mention of Umar. And not only us, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, "Oh Umar, when you take a road, even Shaitan takes another road." So this is a sense of awe and respect. Al-Faruq, the one who differentiated. So we always are optimistic. And of course, many people will say, what do we do with regard to our present situation? Allah, the people of Gaza have been just amazing. I mean, no one can think about how they have been going through. Sometimes we can't see what is happening towards them. They are living it. But yet, after 1 year, they still... Sometimes when I read the newspapers and I read the media, that there was a situation where there was an offer of peace that was not honorable. Even in this situation, they did not accept. They did not accept it. They said, we are not prepared to accept it because it's not honorable. Just think about this when you feel a little bit down. That in 1967, they destroyed all the Arab countries' air force and army in 6 days. And after 1 year, they have not been able to complete and destroy Hamas. In 6 days, they completely destroyed all the Arab armies in 1967. Today, after 1 year, they have not been able to achieve their objectives. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying just look at the situation. And this is an amazing. This comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all in all, I just feel that we must never become despondent. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very abundant. The greatness of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever, ever with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is someone. We must do whatever we need to do. You know, the Quran and the Hadith tells us to rely upon Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But reliance of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always comes after the end of asbab. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْعَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Make mashura in your affairs. Consult in your affairs. Decide on a strategy. Decide on a way. Individually, collectively, what I'm going to do to better my life, what I'm going to do for my community. We are here today for the same reason, for our community, for the education of our community. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْعَمْرِ. Make all your affairs correctly. Adopt all the means. Without Allah Ta'ala's system of giving us is through means, not through Allah's Qudrat. Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat, He can destroy the entire enemies of Islam in 1 day, in half a second. It's not the Sunnah of Allah. The Sunnah of Allah is separate and the Qudrat of Allah is separate. For example, I'll give you this example. The Qudrat of Allah, He created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam without parents, without mother and father. He created Isa alayhi salatu wasalam without the agency of a male, without father. Hazrat Hawa without any female. It happened 3 times. It's a Qudrat of Allah. But today, if a person, even if he reads whole night tahajjud every day he reads tahajjud. And he makes dua till whole month. Ya Allah, give me pious children, give me pious children. Wallahi lazim, Allah is not going to give him. Where is he going to get? Where is your children, pious children going to come from? From your stomach. Or you have to go and first get married, be intimate, and then Allah Ta'ala will give you. So first we do adopt the means. Tie your camel, and then you rely on Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we adopt our means to the best of our ability. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ then we will. He's made mention about one great scholar, and I will conclude with this, that you know he was in prison. He was in prison. And every Jummah he used to prepare himself according to his, I think it was Imam Muzani Rahmatul Ali. So he used to prepare himself to the best of his ability, wear the best clothes, go to where he was allowed to go to in the prison. And then the prison authorities used to say, you can't go further. You are in prison. And he used to lift up his hands in dua and said, Ya Allah, you told us, إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْحَوْا. That when the call comes for Jummah Salat, then hasten towards it. I have done whatever I needed to do. Now they're not allowing me to do anything further. Let us go and do whatever we need to do. But be optimistic, never lose hope, never become despondent, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said despondency is a trait of kufr. May Allah Ta'ala give you a tawfiq of understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma lakal hamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام، تباركت ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والاكرام. اللهم انا نسالك رضاك والجنه، ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار. اللهم منزل الكتاب ومجري السحاب، وهازم الاحزاب، اهزمهم. وانصرنا عليهم. اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم. اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا الله يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أول الأولين يا آخر الآخرين، يا راحم الضعفاء والمساكين. يا الله we are your bondsmen. يا الله we are your bondsmen who believe in you. يا الله we are weak. يا الله we have committed sins. يا الله we have not lived up to your expectation and we have not lived up according to your commands. Forgive us for the shortcomings. Our sins are many, but your forgiveness is even greater than that. اللهم مغفرتك أوسع من ذنوبنا. Your maghfirat is far more greater than our sins. Deal with us in accordance with your maghfirat and your raham and your mercy, not according to our status, which is worthless. And ya Allah, we are weak, but wallahi lazim, ya Allah, every one of us here in this gathering, in our innermost recesses of our hearts, we love you. And we love your beloved Habib. And we love your beloved deen. Radhina billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا. We love you, ya Allah. We are satisfied with you as our Rabb, with your beloved Prophet as our Prophet, and Islam as our deen. Ya Allah, on that basis, ya Allah, forgive us and make our affairs right in this world, ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us unity of purpose to be able to face the challenges educationally and otherwise, ya Allah. Make it easy for all the Muslims who are oppressed in the world, wherever they have been oppressed. Ya Allah, you know your wisdom with regard to why this is happening. We cannot fathom and we cannot understand it, but you have your wisdom. But ya Allah, grant, ya Rabbi Muhammad, unsur ummata Muhammad. Ya Rabbi Muhammad, unsur ummata Muhammad. Ya Rabbi Muhammad, unsur ummata Muhammad. Make things easy for us. And ya Allah, give us a collective wisdom to be able to face our challenges, both individually and collectively. And always help us and assist us, both in this world and the hereafter. When we die, let us die with the kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and make all the affairs of the hereafter easy for us. And ya Allah, we always ask you, ya Allah, never leave us even for a moment without your assistance, without your guide, and without your protection. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadu wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbina rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun al-mursalin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.